Today is the 26th of February 2016. This is me, Sam Michel, right here behind the microphone and behind the steering wheel of yet another episode of Sammy Says. Welcome in, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for coming back. Thank you so much for staying. How I love all of you. I really do. Oh my God, it's beautiful. I'm not migrant. Islamo-Farcist. The show that I debuted at the Perth Fringe Festival, to critical acclaim, one might say, won! It won the award. It won the award. It got nominated in two categories, which is pretty awesome. One was Best Comedy, and one was Best Arts Editor Award, or West Australian Arts Editor Award. I knew it wouldn't win the West Australian Arts Editor Award, because that it was up against some phenomenal competition, the best of which being 17 Border Crossings, which is a one-man play with amazing mood lighting and you know, Foley work and everything like that. So that was pretty cool. I knew it wouldn't get that one. I thought maybe it had a chance in Best Comedy. And it did, it turns out. It won for Best Comedy WA, which means it was the best of the West Australian comedic performances at the Fringe Festival, which is a very specific kind of award to have gotten. The only other award I got was the Perth Comedy Festival 2013 award for Best Local Act. So the consensus seems to be that I am good for WA, which is awkward because I'm not in WA anymore. I left WA in November of last year. It's been a while now. I suppose when I filled out the application form for the show, I was still based in Western Australia, which is what WA stands for. I was still living there, and I wrote the entire show in Western Australia. I wrote the show a week before the show actually began, in the food court of Dog Swamp Mall. Dog Swamp being the name of a suburb in Western Australia, because Australia has no sense of irony. Everyone says that about America. America has no sense of irony. But I think it does. I think Americans have a very keen sense of irony. And you know, at most you can say maybe like conservative Republican GOP, like the Trump supporters have no sense of irony, and the rest of America does. But Australia really genuinely does kind of lack that, because they've got places like Dog Swamp Mall. They've got a lot of places that are just straight up named after horrific things that happened in history, like, you know, Murder Island, where they just murdered a whole lot of Aboriginal people, or Killing Aboriginal People Island, or Killing Black People Mountaintop, or whatever. Like, those are the names. I might have made up some of those, of places in Australia. And people here still do blackface, and then they go, wait, I don't understand why you're angry about that. And so, yeah, that thing is kind of slightly lacking. So Dog Swamp Mall is a place that exists, and there's a mall there. And I sat down in the food court, where there was, oddly enough, a distinct lack of dogs and swamps. And I wrote Islamo-Farcist. I wrote the entire script there. And so the show, I suppose, is a WA, Western Australia show, which is kind of cool, I suppose. But yeah, winning the award was very nice. It was a nice validation. I think it's going to help the show get some more places. I'm trying to take it to London right now. I know it's already been included in the Melbourne Fringe Festival. They've asked to have it there, which is kind of cool. Like, the head of the Melbourne Fringe Festival was at the show, and he came up to me after the show finished and said, hey, I want you to bring it to the Melbourne Fringe, which normally is an application process and all that stuff, and I just got to bypass all that, so that was really fun. And then, so now I'm hoping for maybe a few shows, maybe the Soho Theatre or something like that. Let's see, I hope, fingers crossed. I really want to go back to London. I miss it. I was there for 2 weeks, and it was probably the most fulfilling, creatively, 2 weeks of my life. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life chasing those 2 weeks. I know that. I know what's going to happen is every time I go back to London, I'm going to hold those 2 weeks up as a platonic ideal. And in my head, it'll be that, oh, every trip to London will be like that, and it'll never happen again. I'm never going to get to do QI again for the first time. I'm never going to get to the Soho Theatre again for the first time. I'm never going to work at the BBC again for the first time. And those are the things that made it all magical. I'm never going to get, like, Yeah, it's just one of those things. I'm never going to get to have Monster Munch again for the first time after 15, maybe 20 years. But you know what? If we, a second time still isn't bad to do all those things, if, or any of those things, actually. So yeah, let's see what happens in Slammer Faster. But it's kind of cool. I got a message in the evening from the Fringe Festival people saying, hey, if you are not going to be in Perth during the award ceremony, if your show wins, who do we give it to? And I'm assuming that they ask everyone that who's been nominated. But either way, I said anyone from Noodle Palace can pick it up, which is the venue that Islam of Arsus was performed in. And then at night time, because if Perth is 3 hours behind, so I think at the award ceremony started at 7:30. By the time they got to the Best Comedy Awards, around 8:30, which is 9:30, 10:30, 11:30 at night, I'm lying on my couch at home watching, I think it was, what show was I watching? I think it was the last episode of season 2 of Mozart in the Jungle. I really enjoyed that show. I found it quite great. It kind of descended into soap opera behavior, or soap opera tropes a little bit, but it was really about just rock, you know, the power of creativity and the way music and arts can influence and control your life, and how to be uncontrolled and in their expression, and then controlled in the way you live your life on a day-to-day basis, and those kind of themes. And also starred Gael Garcia Bernal, who's phenomenal, and whose name I'm probably butchering right now. I should ask Yvonne or someone how to pronounce that. Anyway, so I'm lying on the couch, I'm watching that show, and I get a text message from Sean Choice, Perth comedian Sean Choice, who's a very good friend of mine, who's at the thing, at the award ceremony, and she messages me and goes, you won Best Comedy WA, you won. And I was like, excellent, yay. And then I got a bunch of other messages from all the Perth comedians saying, you won, this is fantastic, yay, we're all drinking for you, we're all celebrating for you, yay. And I was like, cool, oh my god, everyone's having a party for me, and I don't get to be in it. And instead I looked around, I had nothing to celebrate with in the house, and so I poured myself a glass of Coca-Cola, which is the only thing I had in the fridge, and drank that. and that was my celebration at having won an award for Islamofarcist. But that happened. It was good, and it was a nice validation for the show and for the effort and for the panic I kind of went through in creating that. And now I'm back to day-to-day life. You know, now I've been basically doing the normal things that you do, which is, I had a meeting the other day. You know how it is. I'm doing the hustle where you line up 10 different projects in the hopes that 3 of them will pay, and you can, you know, make rent and bills and food and all that for the next 6 months. There's gonna be, what's it called? There's one project which will, I knew from the start, wouldn't happen. And it seems like I was correct. It was a TV project. I do not like TV because it's a waste of goddamn time. It's one thing to be a guest on a game show and stuff. That's always fun. Because they invite you and you're on. You know it's happening. But it's another thing, like, when they want to pitch a project and put you in the project and things like that. Because those pitches take 6 months and everyone moves slowly. And then it's just, it's a nightmare. And it's a waste of time and a waste of money. And you don't get paid at the end any of it. And it's just not worth it. So anyway, so that is, it was a TV project someone's pitching, and they approached me and they're like, hey, can you do this? And I was like, fine, very well, I'll do it. You can put my name to it and attach my face to it. But it's not like any of those things have any cachet in the TV world, so I don't know why you think they would, but, you know, go right ahead. And they went right ahead and they did it. And then, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. But there was several weeks of, you know, negotiation and talking back and forth and editing. Pitch projects and everything was spent doing that. That was a waste. That was a real goddamn waste. I'm very annoyed myself for having gotten suckered into it. I do that time and time again. Every time, next time someone calls and says, hey, we have a TV project we want to do with you, my answer will be no. You know what? Go right ahead, do it. Do not include me in terms of my time. You can include me, my face, anything, but not a moment of my time is going to be wasted on this, and I will have zero expectations of it. I much prefer radio. I just enjoy it. Things get done. Budgets are smaller, so they get approved quicker. Less at stake, I suppose. And you know what? I get to fool around with things more. I get to be slightly more creative. So, yeah. So that was a thing that I kind of wasted some time on. One of the things that it turns out I didn't waste time on was the book. You know what? I migrant the book. For the amount of crap I give it for, I didn't enjoy writing it. I didn't enjoy reading it. It exists in the world. It was my first book. I never wanted to be an autobiography writer. I always wanted to be a novelist, which I'm finally getting a crack at. But yeah, I migrant is a thing that exists, which I did, which, okay, it is what it is. That poor little thing that I am not grateful for really busts its ass. It really gets me places, man. Like, it got me into the Perth Writers Festival. It got me into the Sydney Writers Festival, where I got to meet Alan Cumming. I got to stay in a nice 5-star hotel and all those things. Now it looks like it's getting me into the Ubud Writers Festival, which is in Bali, a beautiful island resort area. Just mind-blowing, where there's a writer's festival where last year it was Mohsen Hamid and Michael Chabon were there. So God knows who they'll have this year, and I get to go. So that should be exciting. I think it's in October or November for like 3 days, 4 days. So I'm very, very excited about that. And then the same thing with the book where there was a person who read it somewhere out in the world, this lady named Tanya Lee. And Tanya Lee is a performance artist. And that sound you heard is my eyeball scraping as it rolled around in my head. Because I'm a very cynical person. So when Tanya approached me, she sent me an email saying, hey, I loved your book. I really like your writing. And I'm doing a performance art piece. And part of the exhibition is that they get writers to write about the art and what they think the art means. And I'd like you to do that. And I was extremely cynical about the entire thing right away. And I was like, oh God, is this going to be one of those things where she stands naked in the middle of a hallway and then splatters everyone with paint and, you know, yells, that's my menstrual blood or whatever. Like, that's what all performance art seems to be to me. And no, she sent me the concept. The idea was very strong and I thought it was quite creative and clever and had a nice statement to make. And I ended up writing a little piece accompanying it. And they like that enough that now I'm going to be curating an exhibition for one night at the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art, which is right here in Melbourne. It's a beautiful building. And that's a random thing to be doing. And it's just another one of those situations where I'm like, I have no idea why I'm doing this. I have no idea why they think I'm capable of doing this. And I just feel like a fraud every time. Every single time these things happen, I feel like, okay, one of these days, someone's going to find out and go, wait, this guy just makes jokes. Like, he's not actually a thing that does anything except make jokes. Can we please stop giving him things to do? Like, I just really honestly feel like, and this is not me being modest, I swear to God, this is genuinely a feeling I think that all comedians have. Like, all working comics feel like we're kind of sort of getting away with something because... Here's the thing, like, if I'm not gigging, the compulsion to work is entirely mine. It's my choice, one might even say, especially when I was in WA, where I was making more as a comedian. My comedy earnings have dropped a little, like, some, not a little bit, significantly since moving to Melbourne, and now the revenue streams are coming from somewhere else, but other projects and things. But, yeah, when I was in WA, like, I could just be a full-time comedian, which meant I'd gig 3-4 times a week, but that also means that you're only working, like, 2-3 hours a day, and the rest of the day is you can take a nap. And as a grown-up in the modern world, you know, your brain is like, this is not normal. This is not something I should be getting away with. And I think I am getting away with something. And I feel like that every time these things happen. Every time, like when the entire time when I was in London as well, I've just felt like I'm getting away with this. Like when, when they called me to do this, when they asked me to, you know, when Alan and Unwin asked me to write the book, when Australian Story happened, when all these things happen, I just feel like some point someone's going to call me on this and my fraud will be exposed. My fraudulent behavior will be exposed and I'll be found out as a con artist or something. Ooh, that's a nice chair. That's a weird thing that you see here, by the way. Like, you should only see that, I guess, in Western countries, where they have hard rubbish, where people just take out, like you've got a nice leather settee or a really nice bed, but you just can't be asked to take it to the garbage dump or put it up on a website and sell it or resell it to someone or a secondhand shop. You just don't need the money, so you just dump it outside. You just put it outside on the sidewalk and someone else will walk by and pick it up and take it. That's a very strange thing that they have. They even have a hard trash day. They called it Hard Target earlier. Wasn't Hard Target like that John Woo film with Jean-Claude Van Damme, in which Jean-Claude Van Damme has a mullet for some reason and kicks a guy on a motorbike and smashes through the motorcycle helmet and kicks him in the face? Like, I don't know. Am I remembering that correctly? But yeah, Hard Trash, not Hard Target. The Hard Trash Day, where yeah, people just put out all the hard trash that they have, which is all these chairs and sofas and everything, and then the council picks it up and takes it to the dump. But before they do that, you have time to kind of go around and scavenge through your neighbor's things and go, well, you know what? I like that bed. I've had my eye on that vibrator, and we're doing this. Let's do this. I wonder if people... No one ever reuses a vibrator. Anyway. What else has been going on? The Australian Academy of... Australian Centre for Contemporary Art, that thing's happening. The Ubud Writers Festival thing is happening. I had one or two gigs this week, which was nice. I did the Barclay Hotel, and I did another place I can't remember, and I've got one or two coming up next week. Kind of getting into the stream of doing gigs in Melbourne more regularly, just because that gives me an excuse to socialise as well and meet people and kind of get more acquainted with the local comedians, just because it'd be nice to make friends, I think. I'm kind of tired of, you know, weekdays at home, just sitting there kind of watching television. I miss having friends. I miss having my Perth friends. I said it before, I'm going to say it again, and I would like to make some new ones over here, which is not as easy. You know what, in some ways it is kind of easy, because what it is we have this thing where we're all like, it's not easy to make friends when you're in your 30s, right? When you're grown up, it's not easy to make friends, it's more difficult. And I think people are more aware of that now, and they're frustrated by that, and so they're quicker to commit to friendship now. They overcompensate for that, or they compensate for the lack of opportunity by making the decision quicker. So if you meet someone and you guys hit it off, and you can say, hey, you guys want to get dinner tomorrow? Oh, sorry, I clapped my hands. I'm so excited about that. Just by the prospect of making friends. I got so excited. I started clapping in the car while driving. How did he die, Your Honor? Well, he's clapping. And, they do this thing where if they, you know, you meet someone and you're like, hey, you just want to grab dinner or sometime, or like, you meet up for drinks or something, just, I like hanging out with you. And not in like a hitting on someone kind of way, but just being friend way. And they'll be like, yeah, let's do it. Let's hang out. I'm totally down for that. The only challenge is finding the time. Everyone's busy. Everyone has kids. Everyone has jobs. Everyone has other commitments and work and especially, you know, things like that. And so it becomes a thing where you become Facebook friends right away, and then you don't really actually see each other for ages and ages, except for at comedy gigs or you know, things like that, social gatherings where everyone's involved. And that can be frustrating. That's the only challenge I feel that people have to live with. Other than that, I don't know. I find that it's not that difficult to make the friends. It's just one of those things where I'm kind of grateful for that. I just want to make more time to go and meet the friends. Oh, you know what I'm worried about? I'm always worried about, like, let's say I go out and I'm like, hey, all the comedians are going to be hanging out at this bar because they're doing comedy there. I'm going to go there and I'm going to hang out with the comedians. But they've all got a rapport with each other, they've known each other longer, and they form a circle, and I'm on the outside of the circle peeking in. I don't want to be that. I think that's just a social anxiety thing that we all have. You don't want to be that guy. I don't want to say that I have a history of that happening to me as such. It's not true if I say that. That'd be very ungrateful of me to say. But, it's just one of those things which happens. And I'm paranoid about it taking place. Am I spinning my wheels? What have I talked about this episode? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I guess that happens sometimes. They can't all be winners, ladies and gentlemen. They cannot all be winners, as you well know. What else have I done this week? The things I want to do, I want to watch Hail Caesar, but I cannot because Ishma is gone to Perth. I have Anya with me all weekend with no babysitter. And so I cannot watch Hail Caesar at the cinema or anything. I can't do adult outings alone. Like, even right now, I'm just taking the car to the car wash. I'm taking the long way around so I can record the podcast. The very long way around. But the only reason I'm doing that is, I have the luxury to do that, is because Anya isn't there, so I don't have to worry about her throwing up in the back seat because she gets car sick if I go around corners a little too fast or anything like that. And so, yeah, I can kind of just take my time, go to the car wash, get the car washed, go home. Then I got to figure out what to cook. I think I'm going to cook vegetarian. Well, yeah, that's the one thing I want to tell you guys about. That's my new commitment this year. It's a little late to make a New Year's resolution, but I'm going to do it anyway. At Fringe World, I was eating a lot of junk, right? I was eating a lot of stuff that just sandwiches and random things in the middle of the night, and I was hungry constantly, and I was notoriously eating 4 dinners at one point. When I was working on Islamophoresis, what happens when I work on a new show or a book or anything like that, I burn so much energy just stressing and fretting and writing. I'm hungry constantly. And when I was writing Islamophoresis, I was eating 4 dinners a night. Like 6:30, 9:30, 12:30, and then 3:30. Like, that's how many dinners I was eating every night. And then I have a habit of snacking. Like, I'll watch TV and I'll open up a bag of crisps or biscuits or whatever. And I keep doing that. And part of me is like, well, I don't want that to catch up to me at some point. Because it will. My parents are older now, and they both, they both have diabetes, and they both, my father has a heart condition, and it's all because of the bad diet. It's all because of that bad diet that we as Pakistanis all have. And not the Pakistanis, I suppose, it's we as people living in 2016 with means, that those are the habits we develop. And so my new commitment was, this is the way, I know I'm not going to cut down on eating at night because I get hungry at night because I stay up late, right? I'm a nocturnal creature. I don't go to sleep at 9:30 p.m. I go to sleep at 2:30 in the morning. So even if you have a good, well-balanced dinner at 6:37 in the evening, you're going to get hungry again by like 10:30, 11. Very specific timings I'm giving you. At 10:27 p.m., you're going to get very hungry. So I decided that I will not eat any snacks that I or eat anything at night that I don't make myself. So that's the challenge. Yesterday I was put to the test. I was watching TV and practicing the guitar, and at around 10:30, I 10:24, I decided I'm really hungry, and I started craving a pizza. And I was going, and I opened up Menu Log, which is the website where you can do the delivery from. And I was going to order a pizza, and the pizza was going to be delivered to my house in 20 minutes. And I would have eaten a giant cheese pizza all by myself. And then I was like, no. If you want a pizza, make the pizza. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to make a pizza. It's going to take way too long to make. I don't have the dough ready. I'm going to have to make everything from scratch. I'm not doing that. So there goes the pizza. The pizza's not happening now. Then it's like, all right, what are you going to eat? Because you are still hungry. And then it's like, well, I can eat a grilled cheese sandwich. But then do you really want to eat a grilled cheese sandwich, at that time of night? Because then if you're me, it gives you acidity and makes you feel sicker and things like that. And so I ended up settling on spaghetti aglio olio. And that's just garlic oil, a little bit of garlic, some olive oil, some red peppers, and spaghetti. And you got to throw the whole thing together. And you eat, and it's quick to make, it's easy to make, it's light, and it's delicious. And and I ended up cooking that. It was nice. I enjoyed eating it. I think we all enjoyed the experience of me cooking it and making it, and that was my snack for the night. And again, I'm sure it wasn't the healthiest thing. It wouldn't have been as healthy as maybe not eating anything at all, but it did, it did cut down. I didn't eat that much. I had just a small portion. It took me a while to make. And I feel like this could work. I feel like if I want to eat cookies, then I got to make the cookies. If I know I'm going to get snackish at night, then maybe I should make the cookies earlier in the day. But I know I'm not going to. I won't have the time. So I won't make cookies at night. And what this will force me to do is maybe get more creative with the snacks that I do have. And yeah, the thing I'm looking forward to now is I like chips. I'm a sucker for fries, not chips, fries. I don't know, what are they, in England they're chips and in America they're fries. Anyway, you know what I mean, potato, not crisps, but like chips and fries. And I like making them, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to deep fry them, I'm going to make them. And then because it takes such a long time to make, I probably won't make them. And then I will end up being healthier, and I will not have a muffin top, which is what I'm avoiding at 37. Because that's who I've become. And that's how boring this podcast has become. It is me talking about avoiding a muffin top and cooking foods and things like that. And I apologize. Look, I'm going to wrap things up right now, you guys, because I've reached the car wash and now I have to go inside and pay for it and wash the car and then vacuum it. Why am I doing this at a car wash, by the way? Why am I just not doing this at home? Like, am I that fancy? Well, because the way the house is built, the new house that I'm living in, the house that we live in right now, I can't actually pull the hose all the way to the front of the house, which there's no garage, there's no back area, the car is parked outside the house. I can't pull the hose all the way to the front of the house, and so I can't wash it there, and therefore I have no choice but to take it to a car wash. I could take a bucket and rinse it and all that stuff, but yeah, I mean, honestly, come on, what do you think I am, made of just time? So car wash it is, ladies and gentlemen. In the meantime, you can find me at www.samisha.com, facebook.com/samisha.fans, samish.fans, F-A-N-S, twitter.com/samisha or @samisha, and samisha@gmail.com is where you can email me and contact me and give me your feedback and everything like that. And I hope next week is a little bit more interesting for you guys. I apologize for this week. As always, I'm Samisha, and this has been Sami Says.